My name is Jeffrey Davis, and welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm having a wonderful time, as I'm always having a wonderful time, talking to entrepreneurs, learning more about business, what's going on in the economy. I hope you're connecting to all of our sites regularly. I want to thank our friends over at The Social Scene. I've got the app. It's working for me. It's changed my social life. And our next guest, not really a guest, our reporter, I feel like Bryant Gumbel in the Real Sports TV show, if you ever watch that. And one of our reporters, Peter Meyerson, and also frequently co-host, bringing up an important topic today, Peter, correct?
Absolutely, Jeff. Great to be here. Always fun to listen about entrepreneurs. And what I'm going to talk about today, if I can get off my topic of politics, is the Equal Pay Act, which was just recently enacted in Massachusetts.
Were we the first state?
We were the first state.
Well, bravo for us.
Yeah, and actually, you know, it's interesting. The Washington Post, which of course has been now banned by one of the presidential candidates.
Mr. Trump.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going
to. Donald Day, DJ.
I didn't want to mention names. So the Washington Post has a very interesting section within it, which is on leadership. And, you know, you might want to subscribe to it because I think that it's an important topic for any entrepreneurs. But they made the point that Massachusetts was the first state to enact this comprehensive.
Ahead of California.
Ahead of California.
Which I would have guessed you would have told me California was first.
Well, you know, there are a bunch of states that
Jerry Brown, come on.
But he's got to deal with the legislature. You know?
Still Jerry Brown
state. Still Jerry Brown. I agree. It's very interesting because the history of it is important. You know, it's people don't understand that there is, in fact, a federal act, you know, which is an Equal Pay Act. And, you know, it's, you know, within my practice, which is representing small and mid-sized companies, I need to, you know, I have a lot of companies that don't have a dedicated HR person. So they don't really get into the nitty gritty of, you know, what an equal pay amendment means or how it's to be applied or enforced. But Massachusetts kind of looked at all of the data that's out there and kind of realized that women, you know, are really being taken advantage of. But this act not only applies to women, it applies to men, minorities.
I go back to my early days as an executive working for companies. And, you know, it was always important to know, we always tried to check out what each other made. It was a validator of our value within the firm. And when we thought we were being underpaid versus our peers who had the same jobs, we were upset. And this was across the board. I think women are generally underpaid.
Well, I don't know whether you saw that piece. I think it was during the
not at Mage, not at my consulting firm.
No. You know, you're really quite unique. I mean, in the sense that you have a really
some of the most talented people who have ever worked here.
Yeah.
If I was doing the top 10 staff members over 32 years, I think that the majority of that list would actually probably be women.
Well, I've been around most of that time with you, and
right.
I guess that that's probably true. But, you know, you have a pretty strong sense of right and wrong, and, you know, not only in terms of pay.
Who I want to pick my fights with.
Well, yeah, well, that's a different issue. You know? you know, but I don't know whether you saw I think it was the Democratic Convention, and they had these two kids come on who got hired by a pizza place or a hamburger joint or something, and they were classmates, and they got paid, I think it was 25 cents or $0.50 an hour different. And they went out and they compared, and then they went to management and told them, you know, that they had compared and asked what's going on, and they fired them both. Now, that in Massachusetts, under this new act, which is effective January 1, 2018, is now illegal. You can't have any recriminations, and conversation among employees is now protected. You know, but the act itself is kind of interesting.
Well, it's very symbolic, especially when you look at it nationally, because it was on the national news.
Absolutely. Well, that's why the Washington Post picked it up.
I know NBC News carried it that day because I watched the NBC News that night.
Yeah, but probably the most significant part of the act is it precludes an employer from asking one of those age-old questions, what did you make at your last job? You cannot ask that question.
Wow, that's an important point for our listeners.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody always says, what did you, and they wanted to see, a lot of companies ask for pay stubs from old jobs.
Right. And so I think that might be the most significant kind of actual enforcement tool that is now, imposed on employers.
Because it's based on the job you're giving them, not based upon what you've made in the past.
Well, and that's the point that everybody makes is, the employer, employees actually have a whole lot of tools now. If you go online, you can kind of get a handle on what the right amount of pay should be. But employers have 10 times those tools. And this really forces employers to kind of figure out, what do I want to pay people? And as opposed to, well, I might want to pay him X, but since they only made, L in the last job, I don't really have to offer him X. And so, I think what the employers are all saying is, well, if I offer him X, whatever the right number is, if I really want them, maybe they're going to negotiate up the price. My answer, frankly, is good luck to them. I mean, I think it's really an important point. And the question really is, how do you manage this as a small employer in Massachusetts?
Well, what if you have a company, let's say, of 20 to 40 people, typical client for both of us, and deep in your heart, you're the shareholder or you're the family business, that there is a discrepancy between the pay scales of some of your female employees to some of your male employees. Do you retroactively have to go back and do a salary reevaluation? Or, is there a clawback on this law now?
When I read the act, I was kind of thinking about that, and I don't think so, but it certainly means that as of January 1, 2018, you better get people who have the same job skills and there's without differentiation in terms of, educational background or the kind of things that you can typically use to differentiate pay. You better get them up to the right number.
So let's say Taz and Alex, our Radio Entrepreneurs guys, they're doing the same job. But Taz only bathes once a week, so I cut his salary lower than Alex. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're legitimate. Don't you do that anyway?
Well, no. Taz takes a bath once a week, regardless of the time. He will always at least once a week bathe. He might not wash his clothes once a week, but he'll take a bath once a week.
How about the smoking?
Smoking, he still does on. He still cheats on his.
He still cheats.
Might be smoking right now, but it's not like cigarettes. I mean, it could be some part of his body's burning due to filth accumulation.
We're really being mean to our.
Well, I thought I was being accurate.
Well, the real answer is if they're doing the same job. And there's no other distinguishing educational point, mm-hmm. then you have to pay him the same amount. I mean, the statute's actually...
And you have to be clear if there is a discrepancy why it's happening based on performance, correct?
Well, you're entitled. I mean, you are entitled to vary wages based upon a bona fide merit system, a merit system which measures earnings by... quantity or quality of production, geographic area, education, training, experience, to the extent those are related to, the job you're performing.
Right.
So, it does allow variation in wages, but the enforcement issue is, if an employer gets caught, they basically end up having to double what the employee...
Well, see, that's what I was wondering. Was it like the contractor law, the 1099 law, where if you're you know, caught, it's immediate triple damages, and you have to, you know, prove your innocence.
Well, it's not triple damages. What it is it's attorney's fees. So if somebody
that's worse than triple damages sometimes.
Well, I mean, if it's a
no offense to your profession, no, but that could be worse.
It could be a lot worse. I mean, if it's a small case, you know, and the differentiation is relatively small, and you complain, and the employer doesn't take care of it, then you know you go and hire a lawyer. You know, those legal fees could be a great deal higher.
Now, you implied this when we were off air that this relates somewhat, this whole new law, to the presidential candidate from the Republican side and his wife.
Well, you know me. I mean, I'm really interested in the politics in this political cycle.
Right.
And so, you know, and the question is, and the question that's being raised by some people, not very many, is this more regulation that's unnecessary? And I think that unless you get these regulations, people don't react. Now, you know, we all heard Ivanka Trump at the convention talk about what her father was going to do for women in terms of maternity leave. And, you know, they were
and
all
then she had to go and correct her brother who made the wrong remarks the next week.
Yeah, I mean, that was just stupidity. But, you know, Ivanka Trump runs a major clothing company.
Right.
Okay. And the federal requirements for giving maternity leave are that people are entitled to 12 weeks of unpaid leave.
Right.
And she's talking about how there's going to be all this paid leave because, you know, people and employers should have to honor family and children. But it turns out that her company in the United States gives 12 months unpaid maternity leave. That's it. So she follows the minimum requirements. There is no paid maternity leave at her company. And, of course, her company in the United States is relatively small.
But manufacturing overseas.
Where do you think they're manufacturing?
China.
Vietnam.
Oh, close.
It's close, you know. So, right. So you know, there's a whole lot of hypocritical stuff going on here. You know, it's we're going to take care of all this maternity leave, and we're going to...
Sounds like do as I say, not as I've done.
Well, I'd say it's more like a Trump response.
I was being more tactful. Peter, important law. Important law for most small businesses and large businesses, but mostly small businesses who need to sort of get into compliance with the law. If someone wants to understand this law better, how do they find you?
They can reach me at P. Meyerson, M-Y-E-R-S-O-N, at crmllp.com, or they can actually, I like the phone. My direct dial is 617-742-2255.
Oh, you old relic, you. You're using
a
phone.
I like phones.
Right. Right. I wish I could get my staff to use the phone. They like texting.
Well, they can text me at
the same number.
Same number, you know. So it all works. And there are a lot of nuances to that law that really are, you know, quite interesting. And we can talk about them another time.
Great. Peter, thanks a lot. Important topic. I'm glad you're on top of it. Important for your clients. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we try to stay on top of all subjects that are interesting to entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break, and then I think Peter's going to jump over to the other side of the table and co-host with me, so I'm looking forward to that. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.